Welcome to Voices of the Walk, Paths for All's Everyday Walking Podcast. Our mission is to get Scotland walking, everyone, everywhere, and every day. So, in this podcast series, we'll be hearing from a variety of Scotland's walking champions who are helping make our vision a reality.
Hello, and welcome to this episode of Voices of the Walk, where I'm delighted to be joined by Mandy Williams from SWAN, the Scottish Women's Autism Network. My name's Valerie Carson, and I'm one of the Walking for Health Development Officers here at Paths for All. We provide development support to hundreds of health walk providers throughout the country to help them get more people walking and wheeling on a regular basis. Over the past year, I've had the privilege of working closely with Mandy to help make walking more accessible to people who are autistic. So welcome to Voices of the Walk, Mandy.
Hello.
Can you tell us a bit about yourself and what you do at SWAN?
Yeah, sure. So I'm actually the volunteer coordinator for SWAN. We have at present 34 autistic volunteers, and they run for us social meetup groups all across Scotland. So from the Highlands to Glasgow to Edinburgh to Stirling. They also answer emails that we get through at SWAN and help put together resources and signpost. We also do training as well for example, for Paths for All and NHS and police and things like that as well. We do quite a lot.
Under a very small team as well.
Under a very small team, yes.
I guess that's where the volunteers really come into their own as well, taking on some of those responsibilities
Absolutely,
too.
Yeah, they're fantastic, yeah. So my job really is to work for my volunteers.
Right, yeah. That makes sense. Before we go any further, what exactly is autism? Do you have a favourite definition or description that you like to use?
No, and I would actually turn that question around on its head and say, could anyone tell me what a neurotypical is? You know, there is no definition as such because it's a spectrum. I mean, you could go to say it's a neurodevelopment condition, but it manifests itself so differently in everybody. So really, it is a spectrum. I mean, a lot of people have stereotypical views that it could be sensory, it could be not good at social situations or social cues. But as I said, it's so different and so varying a spectrum. So I'd probably just sum it by saying a spectrum.
Quite a complex subject, isn't
yes,
it?
Yes, very much so, yes.
Yeah, it could take a lifetime to study.
Well, we haven't got long here. I could be at 4 hours telling you what autism is, yeah.
So when it comes to autism then, what kind of terminology or what kind of language should we be using? Would you say that somebody has autism, lives with autism, is autistic?
I would never say they had it or they live with it. Autism isn't something you catch, you lose, can be cured. You're born autistic. So we would use the term an autistic person.
Yeah.
Otherwise it just comes across like it's something that we need curing or we need help with, and it's not a part of who we are. It's very much a part of who we are. But it's our identity.
Yeah. Not everybody knows from birth that they are autistic.
No, I didn't get diagnosed till I was in my 40s. But it's not that I developed it in my 40s. I was born with it, but I wasn't clinically diagnosed till in my 40s.
Yeah. I know that you're very passionate about physical activity. Could you explain what your interest is, your background, and how you personally stay active?
Oh my gosh, here we go again. Yes, very passionate about this. And again, something about autistic people, we like to have a special interest, and I would definitely put physical activity as one of those. Opposite though, I was a very unactive child. I was very overweight. I did nothing, had an appalling diet. And long story short, I was at Stirling University and I had to get pass a medical for the RAF. And so I had to learn to run. Everyone can run, but I had to get better at running. So I started running around the lock at the university and wasn't very good at it, but kept doing, passed my medical. And again, long story short, fast forward a few years after my two children were born, I wanted to get back into shape. So I started running. And then I became quite passionate about running and started enjoying running. 4 marathons later, an ultra marathon later, a year of doing triathlon, running with my dogs, trail running, mountain running. I dipped my toe into every type of sport. At the age of 43, I did my first ever track race. I did my first ever 5K race. I won a mountain marathon out in Romania. I did a VK, which is a vertical kilometer race up in Monroe. So there you go. So that's my background in it. And I got very passionate about it because it changed my life, because with exercise came a new way of looking at my energy levels that I had a high amount of. It helped me cope with social situations, with stress. I trained alone. When I raced, I was able to zone everything out and focus on just running. So my mind would stop. The conversations in my head would stop. So it did help me deal with my diagnosis as well. And I eventually got one. I would say it was a massive factor in helping my mental health. So that's why I'm a big advocate of it. I did do a master's in sports psychology at Stirling University, but I didn't enjoy that. only because I found it very easy to motivate myself, and the interest I was looking at was motivating others, and I couldn't understand how nobody else was motivated. Again, this is prior to a diagnosis. Now understanding my mindset, I can sympathize a bit more why people aren't or weren't as motivated as me. And my partner's an ex-elite runner as well. So it's a whole world, to be honest. And now I found a new sport, and I'm competing in a sport called High Rocks. And again, to a high level, to the fact that I even qualified for the World Championships this year as well as a solo. So yes. Does that explain a lot of the passion?
Yeah,
I summarised it a bit.
That's incredible. On top of all that, you're also a trained walk leader.
I am indeed. I love walking. I will walk on top of my training. So I'm in the gym at the moment with my training I'm doing, which is basically it's a lot of strength work. It's running 8K with stations in between. So if anyone doesn't know, I'm pushing a 150-kilogram sled. Which when you're only 49 kilograms yourself is a task. Pulling a 100-kilogram sled, rowing, skiing, burpees, wall balls, farmers carrying two 24-kilogram kettlebells and running a course, as well as running 8K. So I do a lot of training, which is about an hour and a half, 2 hours in the morning, but then I walk on top of that. I walk everywhere. I walk in my lunch break. The running joke is that I actually work from home, but I still walk to my work. So I'll walk out in the morning and walk back to my house. And then at nighttime, I'll walk away from my house and walk back to my house. And I walk at lunchtime. And I have four dogs. So they need an hour and a half walk at night as well.
So that idea of the kind of fake commute to work. I think quite a few people started doing that. Started working from home a bit more often.
And it's great because I always go a different route.
Yeah.
I've never got lost. Which is brilliant. You know,
so if you get so much out of being physically active and there's so many benefits, why do you think more autistic people don't take part in physical activity or sport?
There's so many boundaries. And again, this is a subject very close to my heart. I only went to an athletics club. I realized I was quite good at running in my 30s. I did my first marathon, it was like 4 hours. And then my second marathon was 3 hours 12. And I realized that I picked up it very quickly and was able to get fit very fast. And I basically wanted to join an athletics club. When I went to the athletics club with my partner, because he was a superstar at the club at the time, I hid in the bushes. I hid in the car. I wouldn't go out. I cried, which people think is hard to believe and I come across quite joyful, but I cried. And it was mainly because the warm-up was a social event. It wasn't like we were running straight away. The warm-up changed. I didn't know what we were going to do. I didn't know what the session was going to be necessarily. And everybody talked and everyone had little gangs and they talked. And I just wanted to go there, train, go home. I'm okay, a bit more social after, but I was so anxious about the training and the running aspect of it. And would I look out of place? And because I wasn't superb at it at the time and I was learning, I didn't feel I should have been there until I was superb. And when I talk to a lot of autistic people, it's very much the anxiety of what's going to happen. Who's going to be there? New faces. Do I have to talk to them? If I don't talk to them, am I seen now as rude? Because that really upsets me. So I just won't go because then they don't know I exist. Am I an imposter? Imposter syndrome is a huge thing. Should I be there? Am I good enough to be there? One way of looking at it is there's a constant narrative in our head, constant doubt, constant imposter syndrome, constant anxiety until you're actually doing the activity. And you're in the moment, you're in the flow, which is fantastic. Yeah. So I think one of the big blockers is the anxiety, the unknown, and then the social aspect of training. Huge.
Yeah, that's understandable. So just thinking about that then from the perspective of health walks. Mm-hmm. So I'd like to talk to you a bit about Swan's Health Walks and what it was about the walks that you thought would appeal to your members. So for anybody who doesn't know, at Pass for All, our health walk model is a low-level, accessible group walk that's free for people to attend and led by trained walk leaders along a risk-assessed route. They're also quite short, so anything from 10 minutes up to 60 minutes, and tailored towards the needs of the group. So what was it about this that you thought would appeal to your members and that they would get out of walking together?
I think because walking is a lot more relaxed and not as competitive as it's seen as sports necessarily. We all grew up at school with team sports and sports. Exactly. Nobody saw that, but even Val pulled the funny face at the idea of team school sports. And with walking, that's not there. That's not there. So walking's not, I mean, you can compete in walking, obviously speed walking, but in this regard, it wasn't competitive in any way whatsoever. It doesn't matter if you're walking slowly, it doesn't matter if you're walking fast, it doesn't matter if you were not wanting to talk in a walk. I actually meet a lot of my neurotypical friends on a walk anyway, because it means I don't have to make eye contact. I can look ahead. I can be distracted by other things. My mind we'll have a conversation, but we'll also be thinking about other things. So if the other things tend to be birds or bushes or clouds, it's a lot better for me to have a conversation with somebody I'm with. And so walking really fitted into that fantastically well. It's very important that everybody has the opportunity to get active for their physical and mental health. So to find not necessarily a sport, but an activity that isn't competitive, that doesn't remind you of school team sports, and that is, as the health walks are, they're incredible, open to everybody of all abilities and levels. It was a perfect fit. It really was.
So far, we've had a demonstration walk for some of your members, mm-hmm. Which you and I teamed up on together and led together as well. I think after that, there was a four-week trial
for
the walks, and now there are regular health walks starting in Stirling. Is that right? Is that where we're up to?
That is correct. That's where we're up to.
Great. So what's the feedback been from participants so far?
I'll read you a quote straight away, straight from what somebody said to me. They said, "The walk was good for my health physically, and I began to feel less isolated and realise there are other people out there experiencing some of the difficulties I have." And then someone put simply, "It's just lovely to be outside and talking." And I mean, that's direct feedback. We didn't even ask for feedback. People just, at the beginning, people just came to us straight away with feedback. You know, "Thank you" was the main one. We got a lot of "thank you," "thanks." You know, and that's incredible. And that just shows you that there was a need there for it, you know. And then even from the volunteers as well, one thing to add to the project where it is so far is we have, I put it out there to my volunteers who are very, very busy. And are doing an amazing job anyway already for SWAN. And I said, "Look, anybody interested in walk training?" 11 volunteers straight away. "Yes, please, absolutely desperate. We really want to do it." So again, there's a need there for that as well.
So you've had a number of your volunteers trained up mm-hmm. as walk leaders. There was some interest in setting up their own health walks in different parts of the country. So what's your long term hope or vision for SWAN's walking program?
I can't possibly tell you, honey. No, I mean, the idea is that we're all across Scotland at the moment, and with the actual social meetup groups, for example, that happen in like libraries and things like that, we're constantly being asked for other areas to cover, and it's growing very, very fast. At the moment, we have a group in Aberdeen, I said, in Inverness, Glasgow, Edinburgh, Falkirk, Fife, Stirling, Dundee, West Lothian, you know, and online. But we also would like to have a health walk to complement them in each area as well, and in other areas, in all areas. You know, that would be incredible if we had, like, I mean, we're working at the moment looking at the Isle of Skye and things like that. If we had a group that met indoors, but we also had a group that you could then do as well for a walk. So my idea is that we offer this to all volunteers that come on board, that they can all train to become walk leaders, and that we can complement our indoor groups alongside, get more people active.
Yeah.
Much more people active.
Sounds amazing. Sounds like our training team's going to be quite busy.
Yes.
As well. And yourself, of course, supporting all these volunteers.
Very excited.
In their role as well.
Yeah.
So one of the best parts about my job is getting to visit health walks around the country just to see how they're getting on. So I know firsthand how friendly and welcoming the groups are. But I'm also aware that going along to a health walk for the first time can be quite daunting for anyone. What do you think might be some of the blockers that would prevent an autistic person going along to a health walk in a local community?
Yeah, again, big groups, fear of being judged, uncertainty, anxiety. Obviously, we ask people to do a sensory risk assessment as well. So is there going to be any sudden noises there? Is there going to be bright lights? Are they going to be seen by other people walking in a group if they don't necessarily want to come open about their diagnosis? Or, you know, are they going to be getting wet, or are they going to get too hot? You know, there's loads of things. And one thing we've started doing now is videoing the walk route and putting that out there beforehand, so we show people that this is the walk route. And if this walk route changes, this is the alternative walk route. Starting at the exact time that the walk route is set to start at, not 5-10 minutes later, or if you are going to wait 5 minutes, you that is set up from the very beginning, from the get-go. Make sure that sensory risk assessment is done. So really, I'm looking at the blockers, but at the same time, I'm saying the blockers, I'm giving you the solutions here. But we work backwards, you know, tend to go right back to, okay, we'll find out what's going to block people and how we can get around it really straight away. That makes sense.
Yeah, I think that's really helpful, because I know your own walks at Swan, they're closed walks just for your members. And I think having that peer support and that unspoken understanding between members really accounts for a lot. And quite a number of health walks throughout Scotland are closed and, you know, aimed at particular groups of people or communities, populations. But we have quite a number of community-based health walks as well, where pretty much anybody who wants to come along is welcome to do that. And so we've been working together in this toolkit to help make those types of walks a bit more autism inclusive for people to go along as well. So I think there's quite a lot in there that will possibly help walk leaders in community-based health walks to make their walks more welcoming, inclusive, more comfortable environment for autistic participants who might come along to that as well. What would you say to an autistic person who was thinking about going along to a health walk, whether it was a closed walk just for other autistic people, mm-hmm. or whether it was a kind of community-based one? What would you say to them?
I would say ask questions in advance, and don't be frightened to ask questions in advance. So drop in an email and say, look, you know, if you are open and you're happy to say you're autistic, and, you know, don't be frightened to ask for what you need to make it an enjoyable experience for you. It's just as valid. So if you want to know the exact time it starts, ask. If you want to know what the route is, and could you see a photograph of the route or a video of the route, you know, or what you could even do is go and see the route beforehand yourself and just see the day before, check it out, or see if you're happy. You know, don't be worried about asking questions. This is the main thing I would say. I know from our point of view, the volunteers are more than happy to answer any question. And I think the more you know about what you're going to be doing, the activity you're going to be doing, how long it takes, who's going to be there, what sort of numbers are going to be there more than anything else, sorry, what it looks like. Also headphones as well. I mean, you know, if you have noise cancelling headphones, I know you can get some headphones sometimes that we use in athletics where you can hear the music, but you can hear other people. But I think if the walk's safe, ask if you can wear noise cancelling headphones. Also say, look, maybe I don't want to talk on this walk. You know, have a quiet word with the walk leader at the beginning and say, do you know, is it okay if I walk at the back? Or is it okay if I don't necessarily talk on this walk? Or, you know, and tell the walk leaders, especially in the Swan walks. I mean, all our volunteers are autistic volunteers, and our staff are autistic staff. So we totally understand and get it. So ask questions.
Yeah, that's a great point. I suppose for anybody going along to a health walk for the first time, if you've got concerns, get in touch and find out.
We all felt it. I've just admitted that I used to hide in a bush, you know. I mean, I knew I could run well, but I just literally threw myself into a bush so I didn't see somebody else. So I totally get it, you know, totally understand.
Yeah. So when we first met early last year, I was in the middle of developing this toolkit for walk leaders to help make their walks more autism inclusive. And you and some of your volunteers provided some really valuable insight from lived experience, which has been incorporated into the toolkit. Since then, our collaborative work has just grown from strength to strength. Can you describe some of the other projects that we've worked on together?
Oh, it's been awesome, eh? So you perhaps we had a conference last year. And it was fantastic. You actually reached out to us and asked us to provide a quiet room which I thought was an awesome idea. And we brought some STEM toys, so like stress balls, things like that, that we can fidget with and play with, and some colouring in and some books and literature. And we made sure that the lighting was appropriate. You know, it wasn't, lights were off, it was natural lighting, temperature was fine, there was no smells, it was quiet. I believe some non-autistic people came as well, just used it just for pure stress relief, which I thought was fantastic. So that was brilliant. To do that together is amazing. And then obviously we've offered training as well to yourselves, and which has been awesome because you tell me there seemed to be a lot of interest in it, which is fabulous. A lot of great questions. And it was, again, it's brilliant when people want to know. It's brilliant when we can all share and talk. So yeah, that, and then the training obviously for the volunteers has been fantastic too. Yeah, we've got lots to do together.
I'm sure there'll be lots more projects coming up as well.
So exciting.
Yeah, and I'd highly recommend Swan's autism awareness training sessions as well.
Thank you.
There's quite a lot of interest from the Past Role staff team, and I think we all found it really helpful, certainly from the feedback that I've had. People have found it useful, not just for their working lives, but also when communicating with friends and family and how to support them as well. So yeah, it was absolutely brilliant. So if anybody's thinking about doing it, I highly recommend that.
And that's all credit to the other two Swan team members who are absolutely awesome. I mean, I'm so lucky to be in my job and it's such an awesome team. So yeah, they're amazing.
So I think some of the things that we've enjoyed, again, working together with, things like we had some tailored health walk leader training for volunteers, and various other tools and resources that are available to our members. But as we bring things to a close, is there anything else that you think is important for listeners to know?
I just think that physical health has such an impact on mental health. Autistic people, or just anybody that's suffering with mental health, and I think walking is an amazing way to start. And it's free. It's open to everybody. We live in such a beautiful place. And I just, honestly, I think it's the best thing you can do for your physical and mental health. It's incredible what you guys do. And yeah, I just think if anyone's thinking about going along to a walk, doesn't even have to be social, just go along to a walk.
Brilliant. Thank you. And thank you so much for joining us today, Mandy. It's always such a pleasure to chat with you. And I look forward to hearing how the walks progress in the coming months and years. If anyone's interested in finding out more about what Swan does, and where would they find further information?
Oh, we've got a really cool website now. So swanscotland.org. And if you can pop a link when you send out the podcast. But yeah, or they can drop us an email at info@swanscotland.org as well.
Fantastic. Thank you very much. And if you'd like to find out more about how to make your own health walks more autism inclusive, please contact Pass for All to request a copy of our new toolkit. All the links and contact details will be included in the show notes.